This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, it's time. Let's tee it up. It's 10 o'clock here on a beautiful Saturday morning in the Chicago area. We're going to spend the next hour bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. In studio this morning, we've got PGA Life member Bill Berger, former touring professional, alongside myself. I'm a PGA member with the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County Golf Courses. Ed Stevenson's my name, and my co-host here is Rory Spears, who is also in studio today, longtime Chicago area sports journalist, and our fourth, the guy who is the long hitter of the scramble team here, and dialing in from long distance is Len Zien, Illinois Golf Hall of Famer. And Len, good morning. I imagine I know that the travel gets going, but you're still on the line from Florida this morning, right?
Well, yeah, we're going to be in Florida until right before the about a week before the LIV tournament at Rich Harvest comes around. But boy, we're roasting down here. It's supposed to be a record 96 degrees today, and we're going to try to play nine holes. So I don't know about this. Golf is a little tough in Florida right now. I think it's a harder place to play here than most any place else right now as far as the heat goes.
Well, it won't take long to loosen up, Len, I guess, if we're going to take the glass half full perspective. But the heat is on some of the best players in the world. It's the playoffs are officially underway, and we're actually looking forward to the next stop in the playoffs coming to town in the week ahead. The BMW Championship will be at Olympia Fields Thursday through Sunday. And, the heat is on players who are trying to not only continue in the playoffs, but with an eye towards Ryder Cup and automatic picks and captain's picks coming up in September. I think there's a little bit extra intrigue to this year's FedEx Cup. Len, have you been you've been dialed in so far and as far as the playoffs go, and keeping tabs on who are the favorites maybe to make the Ryder Cup team?
Well, I tell you, it's been an interesting playoffs, but for some reason, right now, I know there's 10 more playoff rounds to go before the FedEx thing is over. These first two rounds, I tell you, it was a little hard to get real excited. I mean, John Rahm, I'm surprised he's he really is not played well at all. One thing that is. I think it's kind of premature to think about the Ryder Cup where we're at right now. I mean, Brian Harman, British Open champion, just back. He admits that he didn't prepare too much for the FedEx playoffs. I mean, you've got awful lot more golf to be played. But one little tidbit that is kind of interesting to me, the two University of Illinois guys did make it into the FedEx playoffs. Nick Hardy and Thomas Dietrich, they're tied right now in the standings entering today's round. But Hardy is, they're both right exactly on the bubble for surviving to play at Olympia Fields, which, of course, hosts the University of Illinois' Fighting Illini Invitational, which is a very big college event.
Right.
So they would know how to play there. I hope they both make it, because that'd be pretty neat. Hardy is right now stands right on the bubble at 50, and Dietrich is number 52 in the top 50 after the tournament here in Memphis. They advanced to Olympia Field. So this weekend is really big for those two guys. I'll be following that as closely as the rest of the event, I think.
Rory, Len has found the angle. I love it. Of course, we've talked a lot about Nick Hardy on this show over the years, and root for him. I know, you know, even those involved, those of us involved in junior golf in Illinois and the Illinois Junior Golf Association celebrate Nick Hardy and really his career, which is continuing to be on the rise. He goes into the weekend at in the 33rd spot as far as the tournament goes in Memphis, and yeah, as Len said, just outside of the top 50. Billy,
you know. Len, be careful now. You're starting to think and act like a qualifier now. You know, thinking a week and two ahead now. Be careful now. Don't get too good at this, you know.
Hey, if anyone could corner that, it would be Len, Billy. But Rory, how about you? Have you you been dialed into the playoffs yet, or not really grabbing your attention?
Just watching a little bit. Like Len, he and I are involved in a year-long golf fantasy league with other media members, and so I've just checked it out from the standpoint of seeing where my player this week, Colin Morikawa, is, and he looked pretty good after the first day, but only could manage even par yesterday, so he's fallen back a few spots. And Lenny, I'm not sure who you've got. You're still sitting a couple dollars ahead of me because of a very, I'm going to call it, ridiculous finish to last week's tournament. I didn't like what I saw going on out there. But anyway, where are you at? And are you watching the playoffs? And, of course, we'll try to see who has a great week this week and might have a little steam coming into Olympia Fields.
Yeah, this is weird. Your big guy Henley was your guy last week. Well, Henley is my guy this week in the ING poll, and in fact, he's not just my guy; he's my last guy because I forget who I have for Olympia Fields, but you know these things had to be, of course, picked back in January, and I think my player, whoever it was, I can't remember it, but I looked it up earlier in the week, is out of the running. So Henley was just played great at the Wyndham, though the wind got away from him. He was, I think, around 12th place after the first round in Memphis, but I'm hoping for a big showing from him. He's kind of my last hope, even though this is going to be my best showing ever in that tournament in the last 10 years, I think.
Well, yeah, Russell Henley is 19th, and Colin Morikawa is tied with him. Both players lost a little ground yesterday, so we'll see how it all shakes out. But, you know, there was some crazy things happening last Sunday in golf. And not only was it some of the things that happened to Russell Henley coming down the stretch, but also the winner, Lucas Glover, getting a break from a security guard, not being oblivious to action on the course and letting Glover's drive on 18 that was hooked left, headed for deep trouble, hit his golf cart and bounce right back into the center of the fairway. And
rub of the green, Rory. It's called rub of the green.
Yeah,
rub of the
green. Outside influences influencing golf where perhaps it shouldn't be. But anyway, we also had some exciting news on the LIV Tour as well, and we'll talk about it more later in the show. Bryson DeChambeau going below 60.
Not just a little below. A full two shots below.
Yeah. So, you know, when you see 58 up on the board, we've seen some 59s over the years, including in the BMW at Conway Farms with Jim Furyk. But amazing golf there, and there's been an equipment change by DeChambeau, who he's crediting improvements in his golf game to, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But the other thing that we do have, and yes, we now have on the line with us the representative of Cleveland and Zurichson Golf, and we're pleased to have join us one of their salespeople from in the field, Don Wilson. Don, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you boys doing?
Good morning, Don.
Hey, good morning, Donnie.
Hey, Don.
Good morning.
Hey, Don, you got your feet up. You got your feet up at one of our favorite public courses in the Chicago area, the Highlands of Elgin Club out in Elgin.
I'm sitting outside looking at the golf course right now. So, and it's a beautiful day.
Yeah. Well, Don, I'm going to start off by asking you a little bit about the golf club line. And, you know, I know just a few weeks ago, Cleveland was promoting a brand new driver they had on the market. They said it was independently tested, and they were claiming it brought a little more distance to the golfer, even more so than some of the other big name companies that we hear talked about. And I'm already told that it seems to be a hot product for Cleveland Golf. Fill us in on that brand new driver.
Well, what we did this year is we actually incorporated a lot of the Zexio and Strixon tech, you know, the technical aspects, and put in the rebound face, put in some of the other the high end titanium, and actually upgraded the shafts. And this year we actually have reduced the number of drivers. We only have two heads. We have the regular head and a draw head, and it looks great, and the ball speeds are up, and it's at a great price point. So we're excited about it. Obviously, the rollout isn't until January, but was able to hit it down in Florida at our sales meeting, and it's a great driver for everybody. We've got the Tensei Blue AB shaft for guys with a little higher swing speed. And we have the Albala Ascent lightweight shaft for seniors like me and ladies, and to provide a little bit faster swing speed. So that's pretty exciting, along with the rest of the line. And we're really kind of focusing on that gapping for the long game and the rest of the line.
You know, Donnie, way back from the old days, you guys seem to be aimed at the head of the club now. What happened to all the shafts working on in the old days, back when Moses played golf? You had medium, stiff, and soft shafts, you know. And now all of the advancement and everything seems to be going to the head. Is the shaft still, an important part of the golf club as far as you guys are concerned?
Bill, it's still the engine. It doesn't matter what we do with the head. We can only do so much based on the USGA. And, so that's why we try and provide better shafts and all the different flexes, too, is why we have the Tensei Blue and the Albala Ascent. The Tensei Blue is available in a stiff and a regular flex, and the Albala Ascent is available in regular, senior, and ladies flex. So again, we try and provide the best engine for the best head. it's always a changing environment, but no matter what we do, we can only, based on the USGA, there's only so much that all of us as manufacturers can do. And it's that combination of the shaft and head that really makes it go.
Now, on the other side of the coin, being the good player you are on this steel, are you personally, I know you like to throw your dollars around a little. You don't lose many, but you put them up anyway. Now, do you? What do you think of where you change angle or do something to the head, which is illegal? You personally, I don't know of you changing much golf I ever played with you. I never seen you change your angle or when you were allowed to do it.
Mid-round, Billy? Is it making changes to the club configuration?
Yeah. So what's your perspective? Should an average player, which is decisions are hard, is that an easy for him to do?
Well, Don, he's putting you on the spot, isn't he?
Well, Eddie, he knows me too well. If I'm just playing with my regular guys and I'm experimenting, so to speak, in other words, trying to And I, you know, I'll hit a lot of balls on the range and use, I'm fortunate because I do, you know, have a TrackMan as part of my job. So a lot of times I can do a lot of the fiddling around, out there. But sometimes on the golf course, you want to see, you know, what the real effect is. And, so I'll tweak, the loft a little bit and yeah, possibly the face angle a little, just to see which one seems to be working. But again, in reality, if I'm playing in a tournament, you can't touch it. And, so you got to go with what you think you work best on the range. You know, Billy, as we used to do, when you had a cut on the range, that's what you played. If you were drawing the ball, then you had to play that. So it would always go wrong about the fourth or fifth hole. So
that's golf. Hey, Don, boy, you gave the right answer. Hey, Don, I got to say, I every time I turn around this year, I'm running into somebody who says, "Hey, you know what? I met Don Wilson. You've been to so many courses this year. You've been doing demo days throughout town. I know earlier mentioned you're out at Highlands of Elgin. Of course, we've seen you at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. I ran into you at Village Links in Glen Ellen. You've been out at the Grove and ran into Rory Spears. You've put the miles on, but I got to applaud you on the approach that really your product line has taken, that your companies have taken, and your approach to really be where the rubber hits the road. You've had the chance to get in front of, not just on a shelf, not just on a brochure, not just on an internet site. You've gotten in front of and gotten your product in the hands of so many people. And as you've gone around and been able to actually let people touch, feel, try the product, what has it meant to golfers that we're maybe thinking about equipment, but when they've actually gotten a chance to get some data, try the clubs and feel them, see how the product was in their hands. It's got to really be something that has helped put your product line up at the forefront of people's minds.
Well, you know, Eddie, we've been very fortunate, especially with our irons in the Strix online. We've had a lot of hats on the last day. We've had, Brooks Koepka win the PGA. We've just had Lucas Glover win, and he's up at the top again, and he just switched over. And, you know, what I hear a lot is at most of the places, boy, all the good players are playing Strix on irons. Obviously, we don't have the dollars that some of the big guys have for advertising and paying players. But once they do get a club in their hands and, you know, it looks right, feels right, we can find the right shaft, I can kind of – most guys who come for fittings haven't been through one or haven't really they don't understand. A lot of people just are looking for distance, and so what I try and do is kind of educate them that it's a game, and the game is you have to hit it closer to the pin. If you want to score lower, there's a lot of things that are involved more so than distance. So we talk, that's one of the things we talk about, and our clubs provide great spin rates, great, launch angles and descent rates. And of course, we have something for everybody. We have a blade. We have the ZX7 that a lot of our tour players play and great amateurs play. We have the ZX5, which is a player's distance iron, and a ZX4, which is our game improvement iron, and yet looks very much like our player's distance iron. So again, it's easy to mix sets. It's easy to fit, different levels of players, even into the Forge clubs that we have and the higher end clubs. And of course, we're really fortunate to have Cleveland as part of the mix for players that are quite as skilled. And, we have the Halo XL line, and this year it's going to a full face. So guys, who hit it even on the toe are going to get a little better spin rates. And it's been a great, a great option for slower swing speed male and female players, along with our XL iron line, which again we improved in the coming year and is going to, I think, really kind of take off because we've put all of the technology into those too, as far as our HydraZip technology, UltraZip, our Zip Core in the XL irons, and so again it allows, as a fitter, it allows me to fit the whole gamut of players, and and educate people on our line. And again, it's a fun job. I enjoy doing it. And again, it's been great for our company. We have field service reps all over the country. So,
well, Don, you do a great job with it. And I just a quick follow up question on that. I've watched you in action with individuals that were considering clubs and having, you mentioned it earlier, having TrackMan as a tool in your toolbox to really crank out the data and look at those spin rates. Look at the launch angles. Look at what clubs and what shaft combinations are getting them a repeatable ball flight is huge. And I got to imagine a lot of people show up to a fitting thinking they know what they need, but more often than not, by the time the data is done, do you find that people are pretty insightful knowing what they need, or does the data really tell the tale and they find themselves really benefiting from something completely different?
I would say probably it's about 60-40. Guys who've gone through a fitting or guys who are good players typically know a little bit better what they need. The average golfer, again, he's been playing old clubs, maybe 20-year-old clubs. He's got 120-gram shafts and has a hard time getting it up in the air. But he thinks he's okay with them. And by the time he's done, going into a 90 or 95-gram steel or a 70 gram or 65 gram graphite, he's getting better results. And he said, I've been thinking about that, but I wasn't sure if I should do it. So again, it really helps solidify what, in their mind, is going to help their game.
Don, tell us a little bit about some of the staff players that you do have. I saw some photos a week or so ago from current John Deere Classic champion Sepp Straka, and it appeared he had some Cleveland Zricks on product in the bag, and I believe there's probably some other staffers besides him that are out on tour using Cleveland golf clubs and Zricks on golf clubs.
Well, yeah, there are. Obviously not as many as some of the big guys, but Taylor Pendrith, Sepp Straka has been great. J.J. Spawn is another one. Obviously, we have Hideki Matsuyama, Shane Lowry. We have Brooks Koepka on the LIV Tour. Brandon Matthews, who's one of the longest drivers on tour. We have Jerry Kelly on the Senior Tour. We have Miguel Angel Jimenez, even though he's a ping guy, uses our glove and our ball. On the ladies' tour, last year we had the top three players. We had NG Chun, Minji Lee, Ashley from South Africa, who won the ladies' PGA last year. So again, we have 37 wins worldwide, and one of the things that in the senior tour, we have 31 players playing our irons, and only two or three are being paid to play them. So again, it's a great product,
that
and
says
we're
something.
And same with Lucas Glover and Koepka. They were playing our clubs before we signed them to a contract, and the sole, that VT sole that we have is an incredibly great sole for turf interaction, and one of the things that bring a lot of the players to our clubs.
Well, Don, I got to ask you, prior at the beginning of the interview, I asked you about the driver, but one thing Cleveland's always been known for is having one of the better wedges out there in golf, and it seems like it goes all the way back to the original designs that Roger Cleveland brought to the company, named after him. But Cleveland has continued that tradition of putting out a good wedge product. Tell us about the current set.
Well, Roy, we're the only company that has wedges for every type of player. We have the tour wedges, which are the RTX 6. We have the new CBX 4, but that game improvement wedge has evolved over the years and is great for anybody who has game improvement irons, needs a little extra help with a little more a little more bounce, a little more deeper center gravity. And then we have our Smart Sole system, which again has a very heavy sole, easy to hit out of the bunkers. We have a chipper for the people who really struggle from just off of the green. And then this coming year, we actually, and don't laugh, we put a 64-degree lob wedge in the Smart Sole line. And everybody says, well, if a guy can't, hit